Good afternoon. It is 12:34, and you're listening to Campus Connection. It's our call-in show with local officials from the Petersburg School District. I'm Olivia Rose, and joining us today in Studio One here is Petersburg School District Superintendent Robin Taylor and School Board President Sarah Holmgren.
Hello.
Good morning.
Or good afternoon.
Yeah, I guess. And Taylor Hecker, our reporter, is also here.
Hello there.
Jumping in if we have any more questions, but I hear we have some pressing information, a fun update, I guess.
Yes, we're so excited to see the progress that's been happening on the PHS school safety office remodel. As of yesterday, we walked through and we did our substantial completion with the contractor, and our office staff and principals and counselor have started moving in. So it's in a little bit of a state of disarray. They're trying to figure out where to put things right now, but that office area it looks like a brand new, it's a brand new, exciting, bright environment, and we're just looking forward to the feedback, and yeah, we're excited about that. And then the contractor's also been working really hard to get the front end of the school's re-roofing project done. So folks may continue to see and hear a bit of traffic because they're trying to get the front end done before the school year starts to then finish on the backside this fall.
Okay, like the front end of the front of the school?
Yes, of the high school where parents drop off. They've been working really hard to try to get that accomplished so that all of the traffic that they need to have for their construction materials will occur on the backside of the school.
Got it, because right now it kind of is a little bit closed off.
It is, and I feel poorly for the folks that live nearby, because I'm sure they're hearing all of the work happening night and day. The crew starts here, I think, at like 6 or 6:30 in the morning, and sometimes if the weather's good like it has been, they've been going well into the evening.
Got it. Do we have sort of an expected timeline for those? I mean, and the roof repair?
So the remodel it's pretty much done. They're just doing final little things. They do still have left the staff lounge, so that will be about 2 or 3 weeks off. But we could, in essence, say that the office remodel is completed.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. The middle school, high school roof replacement, we are looking mid to late October at this time.
Okay.
Hopefully before the big rains come.
Right. And the first day of school is
September 2nd.
Got it.
Yes.
That's exciting.
And kindergarten will start on September 3rd. So any folks listening out there, kindergarten usually starts the day after.
Okay, got it. I guess might as well ask about back to school info. Is there any important information families should know in this back to school season?
Well, they certainly are welcome to go to each of the school's websites for updates. Excuse me. I'll be sending out a newsletter here at the end of this week or first of next week. I'm just trying to get final bits of information loaded on that thing. It's going to be pretty full. but I think something to note at the middle and high school, and this is a trend happening nationally and through the state, is that we really don't want to see cell phones. Students should keep those cell phones at home or not on their person. The middle and high school teachers do have a plan for how to collect phones at the beginning of the day and then return them to students at the end of the day, which I know for students can be challenging. They do have a plan in place for allowing secondary high school students to pick up their phones at lunchtime and use them at lunch. But really, if a student's driving to school, it'd be better to just not even bring the phone into the school and maybe leave it locked in your car.
Okay, got it. Is that sort of a policy change that we're seeing? Maybe, Sarah, if you have anything to add on this.
The middle school sounds like it's staying the same, which is essentially that. Lock it away, don't even bring it out. And I think the middle school is used to that. Those kids that's been for years. Just don't even bother bringing it out until the end of the day. And I think they're all pretty used to it. It's going to be, a pretty big adjustment. The high school, I looked at the policy, I guess it's not a board policy, but it is a
handbook.
In the handbook, the high school handbook, and it is a substantial change from last year. The legislature came down, or I guess it was the governor more than anything, pushing to have something done. we did have something in place. We have had something in place. And so this is going to be a big change. And so I imagine that it could be a discussion this evening because there are some parts of it that I'm not a fan of. But that's what our job is to have that discussion.
Exactly.
You know, usually we don't get into the weeds too much, nor should we as a board. Policy and budget are our two tasks that we really should be focused on and not get into the weeds of the details, because that's really what our superintendent and our administrative staff is for. They don't need us to be meddling, but in this case, I think it's a pretty hot topic, and we could be a source of discussion this evening. We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe the rest of the board is fine with it, and then we just move on.
I guess only time will tell. We'll see tonight.
Yeah, it's not anything significant. It's just more of like the just from reading it, is the burden on the first period teacher and the
right.
afternoon teacher, and how much education time is going to be spent collecting and then distributing again, when currently they were, each classroom was hanging them up somewhere. And yes, we had a difference maybe in some enforcement from teacher to teacher, but that becomes a building discussion,
management
issue, not necessarily a... So that's my only concern, is how much lost time will we have with this delivery of cell phones versus, I mean, even my own discussion in our house of like, well, just leave it in your car. You know, you can go get it at lunchtime if you want it. And I, you know, for office staff, it's going to revert back to the 80s and 90s before cell phones, mm-hmm. where every single message we need to give it to a kid is going to be called to the office, and then it's going to be delivered to the kid. And that's going to change the office staff too, the burden on them to getting those parental phone calls again. That they've gotten used to not having. So,
and,
it'll be a change.
That's a great segue, Sarah. We did a really soft launch last year, encouraging people to get on the Petersburg app, where if you're a parent of students in elementary, middle, and high school, you have basically a one-stop shop to have access to your teachers and to the office for reporting attendance or communications with the teacher. So we will be launching that a little bit harder once we get through open house and make sure that the teachers and their classrooms are all set up with the software. But there will be a means where parents won't have to, you know, try to find the school phone number, which most people probably don't have memorized. but they can go to the app and they can connect. They'll be able to connect with the office directly to say, hey, my kid is sick. They're not going to be in today. Or my kid has an appointment. They need to leave. Or to even message with the teacher directly. And, you know, definitely keeping in mind that teachers are teaching, so please don't expect immediate responses. But we're hopeful that this will streamline communication and just make it a lot easier for parents to have access to the facility, to individuals in the facility.
Got it. Oh, that's super interesting. So this is an app that we in Petersburg developed?
It's through a company called Aptigy, and we already are partners with them. And so part of when we send messaging out, right now it's one way through what we call ThrillShare. I know I'm throwing out a lot of names, but it grabs the information from PowerSchool, which is think of it as the filing cabinet that stores all the information on the students and parents. It grabs that information, and parents are able to connect back and forth. It's just a communication tool that will hopefully make it a lot easier for parents to connect, as well as for teachers to connect. From a teacher standpoint, let's say that there's a field trip coming up, you know, all of a sudden in 3 days we found out the weather's good, we can get the kids to the glacier, rather than the teacher having to try to look up emails and get them out individually, the teacher can go to the app and send a blanket message out to both the guardians as well as the students with whatever permission slips. So
okay, cool. And I'm assuming maybe other districts use the same format. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we've had it for a few years. I will be honest, I was never on it because it was not really utilized. But I think it is a good transition because nowadays people are more apt to want to use apps than check their email on a regular basis, especially if it's just a personal email that you're not in, like versus your work email getting inundated. So I think it could be a nice, effective tool. It's just getting used to using that. Yeah. And I think it could be very helpful.
Got it. That's cool. Other things on the agenda tonight, I hear Do you want to speak on the literacy grant from your superintendent report?
Absolutely. We are looking forward to having the CLSD literacy grant. This grant is, we are one of 26 districts in the state of Alaska that is receiving the grant. And for Petersburg, that will bring in $350,000 a year for the next 5 years. The focus of the grant is really to continue to enhance the work we're doing in the areas of literacy, but it's meant to focus on individuals from birth through grade 12. And components in there, they've asked us to put 15% of our efforts in the birth to age 5 category, so we will be reaching out to the preschools even more and working with them, doing some family literacy evenings. 40% goes into kindergarten through 5th grade and 40% of our efforts in 6th through 12th grade. When we look at our data, our student performance data at this, both the state and national level, our students are doing very well. So we don't necessarily need to bring in something new for folks. We just need to continue to refine and reflect and expand on the efforts we're doing. So this grant, through the CLSD grant, we have been able to hire Leanne Jenkins as our district literacy coach and grant coordinator. So she's going to be like the behind the scenes, putting everything together, focusing on the literacy nights, working with preschools, working with elementary through 12th grade. But the joy I have in it is as we are sunsetting out our Raising the Bar for Alaska Schools grant that has really helped tremendously with professional development, this one's coming in and we'll be able to continue our professional development efforts, and it will be a seamless transition. So as I've been working with some of the administrative team and staff already talking about it, it's been really enlightening to have a few teachers go, this makes sense. I love this. And to really see that we're not bringing a new anything to the teachers, but it really just a matter of looking at the practices we're doing and how to continue to expand on those positive efforts.
That's awesome. Awesome. And PSD is also kind of, we've seen success with elementary school literacy programs. So is it kind of complementary? Does it connect in any way?
Yes. Yes. It's really just taking the work we're doing and connecting it even more.
Okay, great. Well, when one grant goes, another comes in, I guess.
Yes.
That's good. That's good news.
I will say it was like 2 weeks of my life trying to just ensure that that all the documentation was correct for the state and federal requirements of it. And, you know, kudos to Ms. Kahn, Ms. Fry, Leanne Jenkins, Jill Lenhard. Like, they really stepped in and continued to look at the documents with me. And as we met with the state, helped refine it to fit their criteria with our intentions of what we want to do with the grant. So
that's, I have to say I'm thankful for Superintendent Taylor, but also that other, the rest of the staff, because some districts don't have either the number of staff to even peel away and try and do these grants, or don't have the expertise to know how to file for them. And even if they know how to file them, but how to craft it so that you're a likely candidate. And so the fact that we have staff, both administrative as well as teachers in-house, that can dedicate, I know it's a lot, dedicate time and energy to it, that enables our district to get these grants. Whereas in larger districts, you have an entire grant coordinator that's doing this all day long. And then I think of other smaller districts that are even more rural than us that don't have the staff that are able to do it. And they're just as desperate to have the funding as well. And so I feel like Petersburg's been really fortunate over the years to have consistently have those administrators as well as teachers willing to step up and do the hard extra work to get this money into the district so that we can continue to, despite what's going on the federal and state level, still find some money to move our kids forward.
Yeah, that's a great note, Sarah. And I guess speaking of money, the summer override of the governor's veto of BSA funding, I guess what does that mean for PSD, our budget this year?
Well, it won't change in terms of the expenditures that we have planned, but what it will allow is less of a deficit spend. We were looking upwards of $700,000 prior to the veto override. Now we're in the $400,000 range. And just to remind the listeners, this district has been very fiscally conservative over time, that we have been in a fortunate position to have a fund balance over 10% of our annual expenditures. But starting this year, we have to ensure that our fund balance is not over 10%. And we have had that just due to, you know, good years where maybe it was a light winter and we didn't have the fuel oil consumption that helped buffer the budget. But so we will be pulling from reserves. Starting next year, we will have to have some hard conversations if we don't see any significant additional increases to the base student allocation. The amount that we got really was less than half of what districts were saying we needed to be inflation-proofed from 2011 funds.
Okay, so it sounds like it helps, of course, but mm-hmm. it isn't sustainable.
No.
No, and you've got, hopefully the task force will make that point at the state level, make the point that we've all been saying for 15 years that education has been underfunded. You know, you can't continue to develop programs or sustain programs if you're not being funded to an adequate level. And I think the initial study was that the base student allocation needed to go up by almost $1,400. So we're halfway there. So I don't want the pressure to be off of the legislature from doing another jump next year or another infusion of funds. But because it's, like you said, it's holding back the tide at this point mm-hmm. for us and other districts as well.
Mm. Yeah, kind of what for me, having been having had the opportunity to work in other districts and see what's going on and listening to superintendents across the state, Petersburg has been sitting about 2 to 3 years behind what other districts are facing right now. Like Fairbanks and Anchorage have been closing schools and laying off a tremendous amount of people, and we've been 2 to 3 years behind that tide.
So, like, looking at those other districts, yes. we kind of see what our the future could
yes.
potentially be without more funding.
Correct. So advocacy, you know, I would definitely want to thank any and all individuals out there who, through their respective lenses, have advocated for adequate funding for education, because it did help in that override that occurred last month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a relief, but also I thought it was a clear message to our governor that it's, you hauled us all back here and we're going to vote as we voted in the spring, and now it really does need to be instituted. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, still mm-hmm. a lot of hard work, though, moving forward.
Yeah, and I remember running into you in the hall, Robin. I think that same day or the day after, mm-hmm. and you were just telling me about how you were in Juneau and...
Oh, yeah. I was sitting on the plane. I had my earbuds in just listening to what was going on. And when I heard the count and heard them say that it had been overridden, I just started crying.
Tears of joy.
Tears of joy. Most definitely. People were looking at me like, what is going on with that crazy lady?
I'm fine.
I was just shocked that it did pass. I mean, I was hopeful that people would do the right thing. And they did. So.
Awesome. Well, just looking at the clock, any other back-to-school info to touch on before we wrap up today's Campus Connection?
I just, again, want to thank everybody for supporting the school and your students, and hopefully you're starting to get those habits back in place of getting some good sleep. And
oh, the weather looks pretty good next week. That's going to be hard.
Yeah, and just to remind folks that not only is... do we have the construction happening here at the school? There's also the construction happening at the Catholic Church across from the elementary. And so just that awareness as we're picking up and dropping off our students, that traffic flow probably is not going to be, it's never smooth, but it's probably going to be less smooth than what we've seen with as we navigate through all the construction.
Okay, yeah, that's a great note.
Yeah, and I imagine next week is when you'll start, both middle school and high school kids will be able to come in and register and get their locker assignments. And I don't know those dates because I haven't seen them yet, but it's usually the week before school. So if people are listening and they're wondering, I'm sure it's going to be out on the Facebook page as well as the new app.
Yes. Right. I don't have the times written down, but I believe it's during the day.
Oh, yeah.
Monday through Wednesday, for
Yeah,
sure.
They usually break it down by last name just so they don't get inundated on one day.
Got it. Okay, well, just another thing to keep eyes peeled for that information. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, if there's nothing else today,
thank you for having us.
All right. Yeah, thank you so much.
That's all we have today for our Campus Connection with Robin Taylor and Sarah Holmgren. Thanks for joining me.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. The school board will air here on KFSK later today at 6 p.m.